Genesis chapter 12. In the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at the different covenants in the Bible. And what a covenant is a promise that God made. Now, some of the covenants in the Bible were made to individuals. Some were made to a nation. Some were made to all of mankind. We began looking at the difference between the testaments and the covenants. There are only two testaments, but there's many covenants in the Bible. And we began also by looking at the first covenant. The first week we looked at it, and that was the Adamic covenant. And the Adamic covenant was the promise that not only did God give to Adam and Eve, but he also gave the promises to all of mankind. And they were negative, as we all know. There weren't a whole lot of positive promises that were given to Adam and Eve after the fall. Basically, the Lord was telling them how things were going to be now that the fall had happened. And that promise included greatly multiplying the sorrow of women at conception, in sorrow bringing forth children, having the husband rule over the wife, things like that. It also included the ground being cursed, thorns and thistles growing everywhere, man having to work by the sweat of his brow, and death being passed upon all men. That was the covenant that was made directly to Adam and Eve, but it was to all of mankind. That's the reason we still have weeds today. That's the reason why men are still working by the sweat of their brow. All the things that are going on today is because of sin. Death is because of sin. And so that was the Adamic covenant. And then we looked last week at the Noahic covenant, which was given not only to all of mankind, but to every creature on the earth. It was God's promise to every creature on the earth. And what that promise was, that it was that God would never again destroy this earth with water. Okay, now we know when you read over in 2 Peter chapter 3, you find out that the Lord is going to destroy this earth one day with fire. It says even the elements will melt. But God made a promise after the flood of Noah that he would never destroy the earth again with a flood. And that promise, again, was to all of, to every creature, not just mankind, but to every creature. And then we're told that that the Lord, as a token of that covenant, he put the rainbow in the sky. And so every time that you see a rainbow, God sees that rainbow and he remembers the promise that he made to all creatures. And we talked about, how man uses the rainbow today and what a slap in the face that is, because God says, listen, I will never have judgment like that again upon this earth. And the reason he did that was because man's imagination was wicked all the time, and he only thought wicked things all the time. And so that's the reason God wiped it out with a flood to begin with. And so now for man to use the rainbow colors like they use them now, that is a slap in the face to the Lord, no doubt about that. And so that is the Noahic covenant. Now, this week, we're going to look at the third covenant given in Scripture, and that covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 12, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all families of the earth be blessed." Drop down to verse 6. "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Now, in this chapter, we read here that the covenant God made with Abraham, he gave it to Abraham, but it would result in the nation of Israel being recipients of this covenant as well. In this covenant, God promised many things to Abraham. And notice that there are no conditions associated with this covenant. In other words, regardless of what Israel did or did not do, their promises were theirs forever. Now remember, when it comes to covenants, covenants can either be conditional or unconditional. A conditional covenant would be God saying, okay, I'm going to do this for you, but you've got to do this for me, or otherwise I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do for you. Okay, that's a conditional covenant. An unconditional covenant is God says, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't matter what you do. I'll give you an example. It was an unconditional covenant that he gave to Noah. He made a promise to all creation, said, I will never again flood this earth destroy this earth with water. It doesn't matter what man does. God will never flood this earth with water again and wipe out mankind. Now, again, he's going to burn it up, but he's not going to flood it, okay? So that would be an unconditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. And so this covenant here is unconditional, but it's also unique because when God made the promise to Abraham and Abraham's seed, God made promises to both Abraham's physical seed and Abraham's spiritual seed. Now, that's what makes this one unique, because we're going to see here in just a minute that Abraham had a physical seed. In other words, his actual physical descendants, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the 12 sons of Jacob, all those were descendants of Abraham, and that was his physical seed. The Jews today would be the physical seed of Abraham, okay? But also you have a spiritual seed of Abraham. Why? Because Jesus Christ was from the seed of Abraham as well, physical. But when we were saved, we were placed in Christ. Now, because we were placed in Christ, that means spiritually, we are Abraham's children. But we're not physical descendants of Abraham. How many of you understand that? Okay, now you got to get that, because you're going to notice that there are some promises that are given to the spiritual seed and there are some promises given to the physical seed, but it was all given to Abraham, okay? And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Abrahamic covenant. And you've got to be able to rightly divide that and see what was given to what here. And so the promise that God gave, he gave to the seeds of Abraham, the physical seed and the spiritual seed. Now, the first promise that God gave to the physical seed of Abraham, which is to all Jews, is found here in Genesis chapter 12. Again, look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." And then in verse 6, it says, Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem and the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. The Canaanite was in the land even back then, even back when Abraham was first promised it. The Canaanites were living there. And that's the reason it's called the land of Canaan. And then the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land. Unto thy seed I will give this land." And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And so the question is, okay, was this given to the physical seed of Abraham, his physical descendants, or was it given to us today? Okay, well, it was given to the physical seed of Abraham. It was given to the Jews, okay, his physical descendants. And in fact, turn if you would, hold your place here, but turn over to Genesis chapter 13. And I'm going to show you a few verses that prove that the land was given to the physical descendants of Abraham. And by the way, this was an everlasting covenant. It said the land would be theirs forever. And you say, well, wait a second. At one time they weren't on the land. The Lord never said that he was going to keep them on the land. He will gather them back to that land. And he already started doing that in 1948. He's going to do it a second time, which is something we learned yesterday in the pastor's class. By the way, if you get a chance to come to the pastor's class, I think you'll really enjoy it. That's the plug. Okay. All right. But he's going to regather them a second time, but he already started gathering them in 1948. So God never promised that he would say that they would stay in the land. He never promised that, but he did promise that the land was theirs, okay? And it would always be theirs. All right, in Genesis chapter 13, look what it says at verse 15. It says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee I give it, and to thy seed," when? "Forever." Now, forever means forever. Everlasting means everlasting. Amen? If God didn't mean it to be theirs forever, he would have never written down forever there. He says in verse 16, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." So here he makes it clear that the land was given to the seed of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham, and it would be theirs forever, which means it is their land today. Now, I want to point out to you that when the Lord gave the boundaries of that land that was theirs, that's theirs forever, it was far larger than what it is today. Today, when you look at Israel, it is a fraction of what of the size that was actually given to Abraham in the land grant there forever. I mean, there's going to be, the land that's actually Israel's includes other countries today that isn't even considered Israel, okay? But it's all going to be theirs. It's all theirs right now, and one of these days they're going to occupy all that land. And so it was given theirs forever. Now notice here also, when it comes to the physical seed of Abraham, that God says that he will make them as the dust of the earth. You might want to underline that, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. Okay, he says he'll make the physical seed as the dust of the earth. Now, turn if you would over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Now, in Genesis chapter 28, Isaac is given a blessing to his son Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, Isaac's given a blessing to his son Jacob, and he says this in verse 3. He says, "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessings of Abraham." Now remember, Isaac is talking to Jacob. Both of these men are the physical descendants of Abraham. And he says, "I give thee the blessing of Abraham." Now what's that blessing? "To thee and to thy seed." Who's he looking at? He's looking at Jacob. And he says, "To thee and to thy seed, thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." So right there, again, it's showing you that it's the physical descendants of Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Jacob's seed, to their seed, and all the way through the ages, okay? Now, turn if you would over to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. All right, now in Jeremiah chapter 3, look if you would at verse 17. It says, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers." Physical seed. When it says your fathers, it's talking about Father Abraham. How many of you remember that song, Father Abraham? If you have kids, you grew up, I mean, you spent a lot of time hearing that song, amen? But it's talking about your fathers. That's Jacob, that's Isaac, that's Abraham. That's the land he was given to, okay? And so it's talking about Abraham's physical seed, and it's given to them forever. Now, what does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what the world says politically today, and it doesn't matter who is trying to fight over that land over there. According to the Bible, it has an owner, and that's Israel. And it doesn't matter what a president says. It doesn't matter what leaders of the world says. It doesn't matter what your political beliefs are. He said it's theirs, the physical seed of Abraham, forever. And that means it's theirs today. Okay. Now, turn back if you would over to Genesis chapter 12 and look at another part of the covenant. So we know part of the covenant that was given to the seed of Abraham, to the physical seed of Abraham, was the land. Okay, to his descendants, the land. Back in Genesis chapter 12, we look at another promise here that's part of this Abrahamic covenant. It says this in verse 2, it says, "And I will make of thee," talking about Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." God promised Abraham that he would make a great nation one day, and that nation would be Israel. He did. God promised that he would make Abraham's name great and that he would be a blessing. And he was. All right, look at verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, you might want to underline the word families there. It's very, very important because he says, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Who was he working with in the Old Testament? The nation of Israel. And when you think about families, what are you thinking about? The families of the nation of Israel, the families of Israel, Abraham's family, Isaac's family, Jacob's family, Joseph's family. He says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, this was also part of the promise that was given to the physical descendants of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham. How do we know that? Turn over to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Now, in Numbers chapter 23, you know the story. This is a story about Balaam and Balak. And Balak wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He was offering him payment. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to curse the children of Israel. And we know that he did not curse the children of Israel. We're going to look at why he did not curse them here in just a minute. But what he did do was not good. What Balaam ended up doing was, even though he tried to act all spiritual and act like he was on God's side, in the end he ended up giving Balak a way that to trip up the nation of Israel. In other words, to get them to sin themselves and get them get God against them themselves later on. But he did not curse them. Now, in Numbers chapter 23, look if you would at verse 19. Now, this is right after Balak says, I want you to curse the children of Israel. And here is what Balaam says, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God has said something in the past that is stopping me from cursing these people. And he's saying, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He says, behold, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, that is a great teaching in the Bible, that once what God has blessed, you can't curse it. Have you ever wondered, when you go back there in Genesis after the flood, and you had Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and you read there where Noah got he got drunk, and then all of a sudden Ham did something to Noah, and then when Noah found out about it, notice that he did not curse Ham. He cursed his son Canaan. You say, how come he didn't curse Ham? He couldn't, because God had already blessed them. You read chapters before that, and God blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can't curse. You can't reverse what God's done. If God blesses somebody, you can't be cursed. When you got saved, would you say you got blessed? Guess what? You can never be cursed again. You can never be under the curse of sin again. Why? You're saved. Why? What God has blessed, it cannot be reversed. That is a great teaching in the Bible, and that's what he says here. He says that, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Okay? Now, flip over to Numbers chapter 24. And we see another time that Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Jews. And after being asked again to curse them, in Numbers chapter 24, look at what happens starting at verse 8. Here's what Balaam says after being asked again to curse the Jews. He says, God brought him forth out of Egypt, talking about Israel. He has at it were the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nation of his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Now that's what Balaam says. And then it says, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee that cursed mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Why? Balaam was no dummy. He knew that God said, blessed is he that blessed thee, and cursed thee that cursed thee. And he says, I'm not going to curse them. I'm going to bless them. That's the reason he does that. And you say, well, then who is he talking about here? Was he talking about the physical seed, or was he talking about the spiritual seed? Well, look back at verse 5. He says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. He's talking about his physical seed. Listen, he's there. Him, I could just imagine him and Balak standing here, and Balaam standing here, and Balak says, "Okay, now Balaam, go ahead and curse him. Go ahead, I'm waiting. Go ahead and curse him." And Balaam looks down there and goes, "Nope. Blessed those who bless thee, and curse those who curses thee." Who's he looking at? The physical descendants of Abraham. You know what that means? That means when there in Genesis chapter 12, when that promise was given, it was given to the physical seed of Abraham, the physical descendants of Abraham. Have you ever noticed when you look back in history what has happened to the nations that cursed Israel? When you look back, if we just go back, let's say, to Babylon. You look at Babylon. What happened to them? They were destroyed. And then the people that took over them, Neo-Persia, what happened to them? They were destroyed. And then when the Greeks took over from them and they persecuted the Jews, what happened to them? They were destroyed too. How about Rome? When Nero went after the Jews, and what happened to them? Well, they fell. And then when you come into the modern era, at one time England was one of the greatest powers in the world. What happened to them? They fell. What happened to Germany when they killed the 6 million Jews? They fell. Twice. What do you think is going to happen in this country? Listen, when you look at, when did America become a superpower? What we would say a superpower today politically would be a nation that has nuclear weapons for deterrent and that is not a third world country. When do we become that? Well, I've been out there and I've seen dates on the silos. And I know, listen, Israel became a nation in 1948 and we had a large part in that. And we have been blessed ever since. Now let me tell you something, folks. That was an everlasting covenant that God gave to Abraham and to his physical descendants. And if we ever, as this country, get to the point where we are cursing Israel and we can turn against Israel, you better hang on. Because I'll tell you this, America has done far worse than some of those other countries that you read back in your Bible did. When you look at the abortion and you look at all these different things America has done, we got it coming. And the only reason we're above water right now is because we're on the side of Israel and God does not go against his promise. But if we ever turn against them, I'm telling you, folks, we're going to fall hard. We're going to fall hard. All right, so it was given to the physical descendants of Abraham, the physical seed. Balaam understood here about the blessings and cursing that was given not just to Abraham, but to the whole nation of Israel. Now, another promise that was made to the physical seed of Abraham was found in Genesis chapter 15. So turn back to Genesis chapter 15. And this is one I think we all pretty much know already. It says without saying, because the other promises really couldn't come about until this one did. But in Genesis chapter 15, look at verse 2. It says, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." So what he did here is he promised him a son. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle son. Here he is, he's old, and his wife is old, and they're not able to have children, and God says, I'm going to give you a son. That was a promise to him, okay? And then we see this promise was also given a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 17. Turn over to Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis 17, look at verse 15. It says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. By the way, we're always hard on Sarah for laughing that one time in the plains of Mamre. We're like, boy, I can't believe she'd laugh at God. Well, Abraham did it right there. And for the same reason, okay? And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? By the way, the things he's saying in his heart is exactly the same thing that Sarah said in hers. Okay. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, you got to get that right there, folks. Because how many of you understand that Ishmael came from Abraham too? And honestly, if you look at it, there are people in the Middle East today that came from Abraham that aren't Jews. And they're trying to claim the land. But what did he say here? It's not Ishmael that's going to get the land. It's not Ishmael that's going to get the blessing of I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. It's Isaac and to his seed. Got to get that. And so when it came to the faith of Abraham, listen, when God promised this and when he said, listen, I'm going to give you your own son and I will establish a covenant with him forever and for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him, Abraham believed God so much there that when God told him to take his son Isaac later on and take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him and kill him, Abraham says, okay, I'll do it, God. I'll do it. And he believed him so much that he believed that God would have to raise Isaac back from the dead to keep his promise. And he was right. He was right. He believed God. And it says that it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so these were the promises or covenants made to the physical seed of Abraham. The birth of Isaac, the land, Abraham becoming great and a great nation, which was the nation of Israel. Those that cursed Israel will be cursed, and those that blessed Israel will be blessed. And that the physical seed of Abraham would be as the dust of the earth and as the sand of the sea. That was the promise made to the physical seed of Abraham. And the token of those promises made to the physical seed of Abraham was circumcision. Here in Genesis chapter 17, look at verse 1. It says, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly, physical seed. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, and as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, physical, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 years old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. Again, physical. So that was a promise and the token of those promises made to the physical descendants of Abraham. But like I said before, there's also a spiritual seed. A spiritual seed. Okay? And so there's a spiritual seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ was both a physical and a spiritual seed. Turn, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 3, and I'll show you about this spiritual seed of Abraham. You, today, if you're saved, you're of the spiritual seed of Abraham, but you're not of the physical seed of Abraham unless you're a Jew, okay? Got to keep those things straight. Galatians chapter 3. And there were promises made to the spiritual seed. Spiritual seeds. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now we saw back there where he made promises to many seeds, because he made a promise to Abraham, and then we saw also that same promise was given to Jacob through, by way of Isaac. So that was the physical promises, the promises made to the physical seed. But here it says that there were some promises made to the spiritual seed, not seeds, one, Jesus Christ. And so, and because Jesus Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham, and because we are in Christ as Christians, we are then the spiritual children of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, look back at verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's you and me. Now here's one of the promises that was made to the spiritual seed of Abraham. Look at verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You say, well, what in the world kind of promise is that? In thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay, here's a question for you. You're from the United States, amen? Okay, so you're in the United States, and you're a born-again Christian today. Would you say that you have been greatly blessed? How were you blessed? By Jesus Christ, who is a physical seed of Abraham, spiritual seed of Abraham, and you've been placed in him. So therefore, you are from a nation, and you've been blessed. You know what he said right here? He says that Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There are people today that are saved in Germany. There are people today that are saved in Italy. There are people today that are saved in the Far East and all these different places. And everybody who's been saved has been blessed by Jesus Christ, who is the spiritual seed of Abraham. That's what he's talking about here. And so you say, well, no, wait a second. It says here, thee all nations shall be blessed. That promise was made back in Genesis chapter 12. No. Because over in Genesis chapter 12, it did not say that in thee all nations shall be blessed. What did it say? In thee all families will be blessed. Not all nations. Not every family has been blessed. Amen? You can't say that every family's been blessed. I know people today that have family that aren't even saved. No, there's no saved people there. No, that in Genesis 12 was given to the physical seed. And that when it says families, it's related to the nation of Israel, the families of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's talking about that. But here it says, all nations shall be blessed, not all families. You say, well, then where was that promise given then? Well, turn back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, remember, the Lord and two angels came to Abraham there in the plains of Mamre. And the reason they came was because the Lord was going to send the angels over to Sodom to see how bad Sodom really was. Okay? And so they came in there, and the Lord, Abraham has Sarah prepare the fatted calf, which I just love that passage. You know why? Because it showed that the Lord ate beef that day. Amen? Now, that means every time I have a steak, I say, I did the same thing the Lord did. Amen. Okay? And so the Lord and these two angels come in there, and then we know the angels end up leaving, and they go in Sodom, and while they're gone, that's when Abraham starts to talk to the Lord and saying, would you spare the city for 50 righteous people? Would you spare the city for 40 righteous people? And on and on and on. Got down to 10 righteous people. The Lord says, yes, I'll spare it for 10 righteous people. Never found 10 righteous people. All he had was Lot, his wife, and two daughters. But he also had two other daughters that were there and two sons-in-laws that they didn't get out. So Sodom was not spared. But when he came in there, when the Lord came there to Abraham, here's what the Lord said. Look at in Genesis 18, look at verse 17. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now, wait a second. What do you mean hide it from Abraham? Didn't Abraham already know the promise that was given to him in Genesis 12? So this must not be the same promise that was given in Genesis 12. It must be something Abraham didn't know about. Genesis chapter 18 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's not what was said under Genesis 12. He's saying, should I hide that from him? That one of these days that his seed is going to have, it will be Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ, all these people from all these different nations are going to be blessed. Should I hide that from him? Abraham didn't know it. God says, should I hide it from him? That's when you get over to Galatians, it says, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's where that promise is found there in Genesis 18, not Genesis 12. So what does that mean? That means that is a promise given to the spiritual seed of Abraham. That's a promise that's given to you. You're blessed this morning because you're in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. The seed, the spiritual seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ, and you're placed in him this morning. Now, turn back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 8. And it ties it all together right here. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. How many of you used to be heathen? According to my mama, everybody was heathen. But we know that's not in the sense of the way maybe your mom or grandmother used it. My mom used it in the sense of you're just running around, you're running around like a bunch of heathens. I don't know really what that means. I took it to be a pretty negative thing when I was young. But heathen means a person that's not saved. Okay, a person that's not saved, that's what a heathen is. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's you and me. You and me. God promised the spiritual seed of Abraham that the nation, that all the nation of earth will be blessed through the seed, which is Jesus Christ. And that through the spiritual seed, Jesus Christ, the spiritual children of Abraham would be as the stars of the sky. Not the dust of the earth, not the sand of the sea, but as the stars of the sky. In fact, when you go back there in Genesis, he said that after, in the nations, all nations be blessed. And it says, look up and count all those stars and tell me how many you see. How many of you looked up at night and tried to count stars? Probably didn't go well. Because once you get going, you're like, did I count that one? Did I miss this one? There are a whole lot of them up there, amen? There are a whole lot of saved people from all over the nations in the last 2,000 years, too, that were blessed through the spiritual seed of Abraham. The covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, is both the physical seed and the spiritual seed. But you've got to understand which one was given to which. And I'm going to tell you right now, the physical seed got some great blessings. But nothing compared to the spiritual. The physical seed got some great blessings, but nothing compared to the spiritual seed like you and me. Because, listen, here's something that's really great too. How many remember I told you that covenant was everlasting? Do you realize the spiritual seed, the promise that was made to the spiritual seed of Abraham is everlasting as well, which means that the Lord is going to get you to heaven. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. Amen? It's everlasting. If you didn't make it to heaven, then he broke an unconditional promise of his. He ain't going to break his promise. Amen? That's the Abrahamic covenant.